Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for healing, deliverance, and freedom. Thank you for salvation. Oh, yes. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Glory. Are you refreshed? Refreshed enough to make it to the next gathering. Yes, every morning. There's your next gathering. You and Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, hello, are we in the last days? Man, if you don't get it now, you ain't gonna. Perilous times will come. Boys, there are perilous times coming. They're all being exposed. This last major setup is an Arizona election. This is the last major setup. And then there'll be ripples effect of more setups and exposures. It says, Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. And from such people do what? Turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women and load them down with sins led away by various lusts. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. In other words, they're always learning, but they can never be set free. Now, Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. These are men and women of corrupt minds, corrupt thoughts. And it's disapproved concerning the faith. In other words, they're not walking in faith. They're actually denying faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifested to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he's able to deliver you out of everything. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, what? Suffer persecutions. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing that extremely right now. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and the profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the men and women of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every what? Good work. In other words, these are all enemies of God. He just labeled all of these enemies of God. And they're with boundaries of territory. And these boundaries of territory, protecting things, getting worse as light penetrates darkness of their evil works. You're going to see light penetrating more and more darkness and exposing more. So things are getting worse. They're lying more. They're trying to hide more. They're doing everything that they can. But they have boundaries of territory and are for their protection. These are demonic places. That's why they gather together in their own areas. They have culverns and all kinds of stuff and all kinds of occults and gathering places and worship places and altars. And they're constantly doing witchcraft and sorceries. And so all of these things are areas. These are enemies of God with boundaries of territory and protection. They are protected by the powers of darkness. So there's something you and I must do. Penetrate every one of their areas. Because light penetrates darkness no matter what. James 4, in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So there's a constant war in us. Amen? It's constant. But thank be to God we got the Holy Ghost. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? An enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but what? He gives grace to the humble, and that's a plan of escape. These wars, these desires for pleasure, make individuals friends of the world and enemies of God. Only the submissive can resist the enemy. Therefore, it says in verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? So only those that are submissive are able to resist the devil. If you're non-submissive, how do you expect to resist the devil? You won't. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of a Areopagus, which I usually call asparagus, and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, which means bondage. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the scripture. Inscription. To the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing, and I'm going to proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, in other words, territories, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and men's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity or ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn from these things, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. Amen. So what's he saying here? Everyone has boundaries. Even evil has boundaries. We have boundaries. In the book of Jude, verse 5 through 7. And he writes, he says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe or follow. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain or their what? Territory. Boundaries. But left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Yes. So we see here, these are angels that are imprisoned because they left their boundaries without authorization. Does everybody get it? They put on flesh, came into this world, and had sex with human females, males, animals, anything they could poke. Matthew 11. They wanted to duplicate everything for their own kingdom of darkness and promote their own kingdom. Matthew chapter 11, in verse 11. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by what?" That means they must enter what? Enemy's kingdom, enemy's territory. "For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, they went in to take the land. If you read a lot of the scriptures in the Old Testament, what did the Lord send them to do? To take the land, to take the Nephilims. He was sending them into their territories. Amen? Take the land by force, entering enemy's territory, and breaking through the enemy is called breakthrough. So what are you doing? What is truly breakthrough? Breakthrough, you know, people are waiting for breakthrough, and God is waiting for them to break through. That's called breakthrough. Why? When you enter the enemy's territory, that's called breakthrough. So many times people are waiting for breakthrough to come to them, and God's saying, listen, you must go into them, breakthrough, and then what do? The spoil's released. The promises are released. What does the word say? The word says that when you have fulfilled what God has asked you to do, then what's released? The promise. The covenant promises. So we must break through. That's breakthrough. It's entering the enemy's territory. We are breaking through their boundaries. We're breaking through their territories. We are entering the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Praise God. Jeremiah 18. So while you're waiting for breakthrough, breakthrough's waiting for you. See, breakthrough doesn't come without a fight, right? What's the fight? You're fighting to enter the enemy's territory. Jeremiah 18, verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to what? Pluck up, and to what? Pull down, and what? Destroy it. Can you destroy it without entering it? No. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." That's why things are turning around in this country. "If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil ways, and make your ways and your doings what? Good. Pluck out and pull down and destroy means you must break through enter what? The enemy's camp. And how are you going to do that? Oh, through praise and worship, warfare, binding and loosening. Amen. Mark 16. You must be a fighter, not a wimp. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, said, "You are the Christ, the Anointed One and the Anointing, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Simon got revelation. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," on the anointing. This did not, he did not say that Peter was a pope. That's how Catholicism believes in the starting of the popey. "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He meant anointing. The anointing, on the anointing. What is the rock? It's the anointing. "And I will give you the what? Keys to the kingdom of heaven," or the keys of what? Breakthrough. Does everybody see that? "And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be what? Loosed in heaven." He gives them, he's saying, look at that. I'm giving you the keys to break through. To what? Enter the enemy's camp. Mark 3 and verse 23. So when somebody's, they haven't had a breakthrough yet, it's because they haven't broken through. They've given up too easy. The Bible says that you and I must work out our own salvation. Amen. It says daily we must deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow. The word tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says how the what? The devil seeks whom he may what? Devour. So we need to be what? Sober, awake, diligent, consistent. We must maintain the routine. It's not a ritual. It's a routine to penetrate and break through. Glory to God. Mark 3:23, please. Is everybody there? Woohoo. So Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them in a parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house." Or that's another territory, isn't it? "And plunder his goods, unless he first what? Binds the strong man, then he will plunder his house." Again, a strong man is also known as a prince or territorial or a high-ranking demon. Crossing over into the enemy's territory is called breakthrough. See, we have the keys to breakthrough, binding and loosening, praise and worship, the Word of God. Everybody understand this? Psalm 18, 37. So many times people will ask, "Have you gotten a breakthrough yet?" And we need to say, "Have you broken through yet?" Oh, yes. "I have what? Pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as a fine as the dust before the wind and cast them out like dirt into the what? Streets. So he pursued. He entered the camp of the enemy and destroyed them. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and everybody was freaking out because they were outnumbered against this army that was coming against them. So they got a word from the Lord, and verse 20 says that they rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now think about this. I have not seen that in these days, where praises and worship team goes out in front of the tanks or anything like that, you know. But there's still warfare going on without going out before them. Because we can go before them through praise and worship and through warfare. We're blessed every spiritual blessing seated in heavenly places. We can bind and loose. We can call destructive fire down. Amen. We can drive out demonic spirits. Pull down principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness over, and territorial spirits over every area, and send them to the pit. We have that authority. If people will just take their authority, there'll be more victory in things won in the physical. Verse 22. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord, what did he do? He set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? They defeated. For the people of Ammon and Mount Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. They didn't even know. They were just killing everybody. They didn't care who they killed. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, so what happened? They entered the enemy's territory, didn't they? They looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. So what happened? They had a breakthrough. Hello. That's breakthrough. Breakthrough into the enemy's camp and getting his spoil. That's breakthrough. Everything is for me and you. Everything is available for me and you. Everything that we need is available for me and you. But we got to break through to get it. Without breaking through, you don't have a breakthrough. Don't tell me you're waiting on a breakthrough. You're the breakthrough. I'm waiting on a breakthrough. You ain't going to get it until you break through. Breakthrough. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. Again, it's not, did you get a breakthrough? It's, have you broken through? Isaiah 54. And you just consist it until it, in other words, you keep going at it until it's released. When it's released, you know you broke through. You know, so many times people are still waiting. When, God, when? He's saying, when you break through? Isaiah 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall what? Shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you shall, against you in judgment, you shall what? Condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you servants of the Lord? And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is God's promises. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. No sickness formed against you will prosper. What do you got to do? Breakthrough. Breakthrough. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. So we know worship, prayer, warfare, bind and loose. All of these are keys to breakthrough. Submission. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Hello? Starting at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, food, clothing, shelter, what you're going to need, your own, whatever. God makes a way. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be what? Added to you. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not what? Lack. Amen. So in this, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. God has set laws. What are those laws? Keeps you in your boundaries. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Praise God. We are soldiers. No one said it was going to be easy. The path is what? Narrow and what? Difficult. Amen. Isaiah 61. But if you endure, you are consistent, you will break through. Isaiah 61, let's speak this together. First three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are what? Bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Are we in the day of vengeance of our God? Oh, yeah. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes and an oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? That he may be glorified. I'm going to close at 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But you, O men and women of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potent and King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And here comes Lucy. There's a mic.
I just want to, you know, this message reminds me, I know better than anybody how much time, energy, effort, diligence that my husband has put into intercession. And he's not the only one on the planet. I'm not trying to puff him up or anything, but I'm just telling you that the things that I'm watching happen in the world are happening because people like him have been interceding and doing what they're called to do all this time. We all have a bit of a different calling, but right now we're in a very crucial time. It's like we've been in a storm. You all know that. Right now we're in the eye of the hurricane. It's quiet. It's peaceful. But buckle up because it's coming and it's going to be worse. The opposite side of the storm is worse in the beginning. So it's not time to let your guard down. This country and especially the church have been complacent all these years. That's how we got into the mess that we're in right now. He has never been complacent. So we all have access to this same anointing. It flows from the head. But we're all called to press in, whether it's praying in the Holy Ghost, whether it's praying out of your prayer book, whatever it is, don't stop. We're in a very, very critical time in this nation and in the world. And if we don't do our part, it's not going to go the way that we want it to. Donald Trump is not our savior. Amen. And God is asking us to rise up, not just in prayer, but in our communities, in our churches, in our schools. We're all called to do something. So I just wanted to admonish you. I am telling you that everything that I see happening in this world right now and the things that we've been waiting for are the things that he has been breaking through for all these years. I wish you could hear him in the morning.
I'm glad you can't.
Over the bubbles.
B&P, bubbles and prayer. Yeah, something like that. Anyways, to God be all the glory, amen. He's got us all called. We're all called to intercede. That's our first ministry, intercession. Pray, pray, pray. So, Father, we thank you for your words tonight in preparation and giving us a true understanding of what breakthrough really is. Thank you so much. We honor you. We bless you. And we ask that you seal this breakthrough revelation that we may break through in Jesus' name. Anybody said amen?